This podcast of the Radio Cafe comes to you via radiocafe.org, where you can find more information and many other podcasts. Technical support comes from Studio X, providing website design, hosting, e-commerce, and social media marketing, serving Santa Fe to the world since 1994. Find out more at studiox.com. And we've got a few minutes left in today's show, and I would like to welcome Keith Mark Johnson. He's author of the memoir Crossing Zion, and he's been sort of crossing the country and traveling around and on a kind of road trip, stopped by in the Santa Fe Baking Company, and we just got talking. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Hi.
So you basically undertook the writing of this memoir from what feels like kind of a place of despair. You had been through...
Yeah.
The breakup of marriage and sort of desperation with exes and kids and romance. And you had been a mountain guide and had taken people up very high mountains and had some serious adventures up there. You'd worked with at-risk kids.
Yeah.
And what came out of it was this book that you now are sort of taking on the road and connecting with people who are reading it.
Yeah. Yeah. What I found was the book, I talked to you about this earlier, was I thought no one would read it. Maybe my kids would read it one day. It was too personal. It was too naked. It was a mess. It went all over the place. Who in the world would take time to read this book? And what I found was people were reading it cover to cover. I couldn't understand it. And a lot of it was like high school kids who had never read a book. Males who had never read a book, older ladies who never walked a trail or climbed a mountain. I couldn't understand it. And what I think happened was I was so hurt when I wrote it, and I wrote it out of that desperate, shipwrecked place, that it was the truth. And people just grabbed onto it. And it's not a book for everybody. If you're healthy, your life's going perfect, and you know everything's wonderful, you probably won't get the book, or you might be entertained by some of the funny stuff, because there's some funny stuff in there. But it was for those people who felt like, I've been alone my whole life, and this guy gets it. And I think I was able to capture that.
Yeah, I mean, some of the readers of your book have been your at-risk students.
Yeah. And again, it was so personal. I honestly was afraid to show it to anybody at first. I thought, oh my goodness, I mean, here I am, as naked as can be. And I told everything. And part of it was like, you know what, I'd been kind of a closet case my whole life. I had these issues and phobias and all this stuff. And, you know, I played the part of the handsome male, rough guy, but inside I wasn't. And I finally said, you know, enough. I go, my kids need to know what it was like to be me and why I did some of the dumb things I did, because I made some weird choices.
Yeah, it definitely, I noticed an incongruity between the rugged mountain man persona and the man who was continually obsessing over love the way you think that only young women ever do.
I know, it was strange. I don't know if I was from listening to the Beatles when I was like a child, but I had this love thing, and I just wanted to be loved. And now I actually have a very secure, wonderful relationship, and I'm a better person as a result of it. I think I'm one of those humans that needed that contact, that human contact, to really be complete. I know it sounds dumb, and I've been alone. Most of my life, I was alone, so I know how to do it. I'm better with that. So maybe the myth is real, but I was definitely seeking it, and man, did I go about it the wrong way.
Now, in your book, you're continually quoting somebody named Langdon Towne, whom I'd never heard of, who apparently wrote a very limited edition book called The Book of Truths, which is some kind of cult classic. Is that for real?
Well, I don't want to give too much away, because I'll just spoil the book. But Towne was that person I discovered on my road trip. He was, the Book of Truths was something I picked up in Burley, Idaho. And the whole point of Crossing Zion, I think, is the fact, again, not giving too much away, is that you head out on this trip and you begin to discover that these truths are inside of you. You just needed the solitude. You needed to meet the right people. You need to get out of this crazy life you're in that's crushing you, and find your Book of Truths. And Towne is that voice that says, you know, it's all right, and quit being afraid. And, you know, if you got to go live in the desert in a tent, it's better than being a slave. And he's that part that says, I'm done with this. And Towne's a strong character, but he's fragile too. And he also is a victim of love, you know. He's addicted to olive-skinned Scorpios. You know, he can't stay away from them. And it's kind of one of the punchlines of the book because they keep finding him.
You've done a lot of mountain climbing and very serious mountain climbing, and some of it is described in a way that I think to myself, as a reader, why would anyone do this? Because it's so scary, and it's sort of like, you know, paying good money to put yourself in danger for reasons that are a little hard to fathom for those who aren't, like, viscerally drawn to that sport. But you sort of have been for much of your life. And, I mean, do you feel like... I was wondering what mountain climbing was for you. I mean, is it a way... is it metaphorical as a way of getting to the top of not only the mountain, but part of yourself kind of thing?
Yeah, you know, I read stuff in when I was a kid, I wanted to be a hero. And, you know, it was either Geronimo or Spitfire pilots or climbing K2. I mean, those guys appealed to me because they were heroic and they were struggling for a cause. But basically, I spent most of my youth quite cowardly. I wasn't a football star. I didn't have that kind of machismo. And when I first tried climbing, it terrified me. But what happened was the overcoming of that fear on the mountain made me able to cope with my fears down on the street level. And it got addictive because, you know, if I go up and push my limit, you know, life was good. By Wednesday, it wasn't so good. Back to the mountain I go. And it just started to drive me. And I realized I was, like a lot of guys will say this, I'm happier up there risking my life than dealing with the stuff down here. I was more afraid of, you know, the normal kind of living and the crap we go through with bills and mean people and so forth. Up there, it's you and the mountain. The mountain doesn't try to hurt you. Mm-hmm. And if you got your act together and you can, you know, you play the game correctly, you won't push yourself past that danger zone, I mean, where you're going to eat it. And the problem is it's addictive. So when do you say when? And climbers die all the time. You know, Scott Fisher died on, you know, on that trip. He made a really poor decision to keep going when he should have turned around. Where's the line?
Yeah.
And that's the game you play. It is basically a game with your life. And I don't gamble. I don't, you know, I don't do any of that stuff. I don't go to Vegas, but I gamble with my life. It was a way to stay sane, I think, and get over fear. I was so scared. And then I go deal with that. And this is pretty easy now. You know,
so,
does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, did it work? Does it flow over into other parts of your life?
This is the thing. I couldn't believe this. When I went in and worked over here at the local prison. And I went in, at first I was terrified and scared, and I thought, what am I doing? But eventually I brought up my climbing lifestyle and what I had done, and the guys were impressed with that, both the correction officers and the guys in the inside. And then I didn't use it like, oh, I'm so cool, or I'm, you know, look at me, I'm Mr. Tough. It was more like I've been through something. And then here's the other thing, is everybody's real confident till they're scared to death. And in the mountains, you're scared to death, and you have to handle it. I'm talking when it gets really nasty, like storms and steep stuff. And I used that I was able to teach with that, because human beings need to be encouraged and need to be treated the right way. And I was able to, you know, I just used that kind of kindness and that kind of toughness, but I want you to do well. We need to summit, and I don't want you to kill me, so how best can I approach you? So, yeah, and I climbed with one guy most of my life, and we learned so many things, like you don't criticize each other. You don't say stupid stuff, even though you want to. You keep your mouth shut when it's not appropriate. And then you work together, back and forth, till you summit. And always the goal is get the summit, get home safe. So, yeah, I think it applies to everything I do, actually.
Keith Mark Johnson is author of the memoir Crossing Zion, and his Facebook page, if you're on Facebook, you look up Everest Aid, and nice pictures of Mount Everest. Mm-hmm. And I want to thank you for being here and wish you luck on your journeys.
Thank you. Thanks, Mary Charlotte.
Thanks for listening to the podcast. To support the program, you can go to radiocafe.org. Many thanks to StudioX.com for their technical support and web design.